Are you ready to think big and act bold? Then you are in the right place. This is Innovative Entrepreneurs, a podcast that will bring you the stories, insights, and tips from some of the most successful and innovative entrepreneurs in the world. I am your host, Erica Bailey, and I am here to help you start, scale, and sustain your own entrepreneurial journey. Let's get started.
I'm at Robin Hood Studios again. Of course, I love this place down in Clearfield, so make sure you check it out if you're looking for some podcast space, or, you know, they also do some great video work. So that's my plug to them because they damn well deserve it. Today, I have Spencer Hayward. He is my guest. He is my friend. He is my mentor. He is my Padawan. We do some cool stuff together. He's the co-founder, right? Co-founder. You and your brother?
And my business partner.
Your business partner. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to talk today. Our whole objective is to, we're going to kind of pimp you out. You're going to learn all about him and how cool he is. But I want to talk about something that he is doing that is innovative. That's exactly what we're talking about here, right? Is innovation. People that are making changes in the world and how we can teach others, right? So that is our goal. So Spencer started painting at a very young age. Like, there's videos out there on his social media who I know a company who does it, you know.
Yeah.
There's videos of him on Facebook of how little he was when he was painting. Like, what was that? Is that where it started? Or,
you know, my parents, when we were growing up, my parents are my dad's in the Air Force.
Okay.
So we moved all over the place, and whenever you move into these new homes and you're renting a property or, you know, renting a home, it always feels so kind of bland,
mm-hmm.
Very, you know, all the walls are just white. There's no color into it. And so from, you know, my mom wanting to do some things with like adding some colors into her kitchen. And that's where the first video that you're referencing there, when I was 9 years old painting a wall and
no shirt on, isn't it? I think he doesn't have a shirt on.
It's just
so funny.
Just like rolling it. Like, I didn't have any paint on the roller. I didn't know what I was painting, but
you could tell though. He was like, yes, I am awesome at this. Like, I'm good at this.
I was very concentrating there. Yeah.
So then how did this actually start for you?
So I was living in Alabama at the time. My dad got transferred there. He became an SOS instructor, an SOS teacher, which is like where they go from being like enlisted to officer training.
Okay.
And so my friend, I met him at the local church, and his dad was a painter.
Okay.
And so he's been painting for 10 years.
Okay.
And so I came out here for, I always tell people, school and women.
That's a good place to come.
I wanted
Arizona State would have been number one, just saying.
Isn't Arizona State mostly like online though?
No, dude, no. It's like known as the like number one party school. Do your research, man.
I don't know if I needed a party school.
Okay, so women in what?
Women in school.
Oh, okay.
That's what I went for. So okay. I got here. I started going to school. I was working at Home Depot in the construction industry, talking to all these other general contractors, learning from them, learning as a how to be an estimator and a salesperson at Home Depot.
Okay.
You know, at my last year there, I was selling about $1 million, a little over $1 million just in windows and doors.
Wait, you were selling over $1 million worth of product for somebody else?
For
Home Depot?
For Home Depot. I got
at paid. What age? I know you got paid.
Well, I only got paid like $18 an hour. There's no commission. So I was doing this great job, and I'm like, I'm making, you know, the year was like, they average like about $1 million a week. So I was doing like one-eighth of the...
Wow.
Or like one-fifth of the, I can't even remember at the time, but like...
Anyway, a lot of the...
A good chunk of what people are doing, and there's not a ton of overhead on that as well. So like, because it's all custom order, custom finished doors,
okay.
You know? I was doing that at the age of like, I don't know, I was going to school at the time, so maybe 20, 22?
22. He was selling $1 million in product consistently for Home Depot. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, I just kind of got tired of it. They moved me up into a little bit of a leadership position after a while. Not that that's necessary by anything. I'm still working on my leadership skills, but that kind of helped us become, you know, a greater, you know, be able to help eventually have employees and everything. Daniel called me up and he's like, yeah, I think I'm done in Alabama. There's no
women.
That's what he told me. There's a lot of beautiful women in Alabama.
Yes, we're not cutting any Alabama women out.
But they're the Southern Belles.
Oh, there you go.
So
that's all right. We can keep going. Has he chosen to leave Alabama? And
he came to leave Alabama. I said, perfect. Let's start this painting company. You know how to paint. I know how to sell. I know how to market. I know how to project manage. Come out here and we'll just start a company. So we
22 met, years old?
20. Let's see. I'm 27 now. So 4 years ago, I was 23.
This is what blows my mind. Like, seriously blows my mind about you is he's, I mean, I just leveled up another year, but he is so young, but brilliant. And so we'll get into this a little bit more. And I can see he's got a little blushing, but he is a very smart man at such a young age. And he's got so much knowledge. So I just love that you're here and talking to me, and I'll just keep going now. Okay. So you start a painting company, and did it like right off the back, or was it like, oh my gosh, I am literally scrimping and scraping like I did?
I talked to the store manager at Home Depot. I'm like, hey, I'm not going to be able to do this full time anymore. What are my options? And he was telling me like, oh, here's the options. And then I realized like pretty quickly, like I just have to go full force into it. So I just quit my stable job. I put my 2 weeks in, and Daniel was arriving like on a Thursday. My last day was Friday. He gets off the airplane. I say, perfect. We have 4 estimates to go to. And he's like, what? And so he gets off the airplane. He has never seen his apartment before. He paid the deposit, never seen the place. And I have a little Mustang around, going around. I'm like, perfect. I pick him up from the airport. I drive my convertible Mustang over to these 4 estimates. And not knowing how to do anything, we go and do these things, just bumbling over each other. 2 people at an estimate doesn't work when you're both trying to sell it. Really, you need someone as like a teaching and someone learning, but neither of us knew how to do it other than I had sales skills. So we got our first job pretty quickly, and we ended up doing, from April to November, we did $250,000.
And you have been business in like 4 years, almost 4 years.
4 years, yeah. So this is year 4 for us.
And on average, you are doubling.
We're working on it. You know, we have, so first year was 250,000, and we worked from April to November. We made a lot of money, and we were kind of burnt out. You know, we're working 70 hours a week sometimes, you know, constant Saturdays working. You know, at this time, and him were painting. I hired our first employee after our first job to start helping us paint so we could get production done faster. Mm-hmm. But we took the winter off because they wanted to go down and take a break anyway. So we're like, perfect. We don't have any overhead. Take that off. Started again in February, and we went from February to November, and we did 550,000.
Okay.
So that was year 2. And then year 3, we just finished up 2023 with 1.1 million.
27?
I'm 27 now.
At 27 years old, 4 years into a business. Why? I mean, I know the answer to this, but nobody else does. Why do you think that happened? What do you think your business models, or what do you think helped you double each year?
Well, you know, a part of it's just wanting to grow and develop something. I'm very, I love creating and developing.
Okay.
So the whole goal wasn't to paint all day. The whole point was to create a company. And, you know, after the first year, so like year and a half into our company, my business partner kicked me off the job. But he said, you're a terrible painter. I don't know why. He's like, you're not even helpful. You're proactively hurting my production. And so he basically said, get off the job, go do sales. And
that's funny. Just knowing you, that is really, really, really funny.
I think I'm a okay painter. You wouldn't want me painting your house, though.
That's okay.
I've painted, in the past 2 years, I've painted 2 houses.
Are they both yours?
They are. I painted 2 houses. They're both mine, and they're just to keep me up on it. You know, so.
Okay, so back into... you know, the whole goal was to build a company. And so you've had this tremendous growth. Mm-hmm. He kicks you off the job site and says, you're not worth being here.
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio,
a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.
So the whole point for me was from like, okay, I'm spending 12-hour days, you know, 5-6 days a week, doing work for 8 hours. And then I'm going home and I'm sending texts and I'm sending emails and I want customer service and I want to make sure our systems work together. I just didn't know how to do that yet. Mm-hmm. So when that Monday, and I'm sitting on my butt and I got one crew painting and my business partner who's depending on me sitting in front of a computer, and I'm like, well, what do I do now? And so then I just started looking online and started researching, because that's what's the, you know, I have to have... Now I know how easy it is to create these systems. So at the time, I'm like, okay, I have QuickBooks. I'm a genius. But now I'm like, man, I had QuickBooks. I was an idiot. I looked into some systems. I got on some demos with some. We started working with a CRM that really helps skyrocket it. Automate.
Tell whoever it is you want to plug. So just so you know, you're allowed to plug whoever you want.
Oh, I mean, of course. I mean, okay. So we use Drip Jobs.
There you go.
it's a CRM specifically for painters.
Yes.
It does all the automated follow-ups. It does all the job scheduling with us. You know, okay. They claim that it will save you like 20 hours a month, but like it saved me 10 hours a week.
Wow. Okay.
Just like for $150 a month. That just opened my whole entire view up to realize how little you actually have to do to make your company look professional. And then we, you know, over the course of the year, we've just been slowly, like, my goal is to scale, create systems, and create branding, you know, with the hats and with the shirts and with the...
You were going to point at me like I was wearing one. Yeah. Almost did. Yep. Swift hand all over. That's right. That's what it says. It sparkles.
Invisible.
It is. Yeah. It's sparkly, and you need to make one for me that has sparkles.
Oh, yeah. I'll talk to Eric on that.
This should be like white sparkles.
That'd be cool.
Just for me.
It's for you, yeah.
Yeah, you'll have Eric. Eric does custom t-shirts, right?
He does. He did over 300 for us.
Boom. Okay.
A pretty good deal, too. He helped us out a lot, and he's also local, also local to Utah.
That's what we love. Oh, and he's... supposed to have a bit. Anyway, congratulations, Eric, wherever you are. Okay, so back to it. You're building systems. You are young. You are now sat at a desk and told to figure out how to run a company and how to make it profitable and how to make it scalable. So you just start learning.
Mm-hmm.
You teach yourself.
Yeah.
And again, we're doubling each year. So you're young. You've taught yourself. You're learning how to put these systems in place. You understand the necessities of all the pieces.
Yeah.
So just figuring out how to put those pieces together, is that what it took for you, or was a little more than that?
You know, it's a combination of like learning what tools are truly available for construction-based industries. You know, painters specifically. I think the painting industry is considerably... I feel like plumbing and electrical and these industries, they've all elevated themselves in the past 20 years. They've professionalized.
Okay.
Yeah. They're now on the stock exchange. There is not a single paint company on the stock exchange right now.
Really?
There's no publicly sold painting company, but there's plenty of plumbing and electrical and all this other stuff. And so I think that the painting industry is about 10, 20 years behind. A lot of people are doing text. They're doing like, okay, they don't have their own professional email. So, I mean, one of the things that we did is we wanted to get these systems into our company so that we can start looking more professional. And instead of just sending, when we first started, we literally sent all of our estimates in a text. We said, hey, Erica, the proposal, we got jobs this way.
I have no doubt you could close that without question. You are the one person I know who could close a deal via a text message without question. It started with text message.
We started with texting. You know, it was like people were like, oh yeah, it's gonna be $3,500 to paint your exterior. Let us know if you have any questions. And like super vague. There's no prep, no detail. What are we going to do? Are we just going to throw paint on there? Are we going to do the prep? You know, there was no professionalism, no follow-up. We didn't call him after to, like, secure the job, like, nothing. And then we went to QuickBooks, and we grew our company a little bit that way. And that's a good step. It's a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. But it's, and a lot of people already have QuickBooks, mm-hmm. which makes it easy to implement.
I have QuickBooks. Yeah, well, so my people do. Well, I have, I can barely log on. I mean, you know this. Yeah. You're always asking. He's always asking me, Erica, you should know bottom line is.
You should know your, well, as soon as
I should know my numbers.
You should know your numbers. I know my numbers.
He does.
I know very well.
He does. So you've got these systems in place. You're now kind of changing the whole look of the painting industry. You're trying to set an example that when I look at like carpenters and plumbers and these other trades, like what I see is like the dedication or the hard work that somebody really put in back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? Like just the love that they put into every job. Like I can see that in some of these companies, but I've never seen that in painting until now.
Yeah.
So that's what, and we'll get into the actual kind of point other than how cool Spencer is. We'll get into that, but you are lifting up this industry mm-hmm. by creating these systems, by having these professional emails, by getting these invoices so that you look like the quality that you provide.
You know, and one of the things that we really try to focus on, and I've had a major mind shift change in the past year or so is like, you know, before I was like, oh, I have this amazing CRM. This is our competitive advantage. No, the competitive advantage is my leadership team. It's my painters. It's our branding. It's our logo. It's our team. You know, it's not the system. The system will sell jobs for us occasionally, but it's not who fulfills the job. It's not who makes the proposal.
Yes.
So
it's
like
not the person.
So what I've done now is anyone that reaches out to me, I'll tell them exactly how we run our company. I'll tell them exactly what systems they should use, exactly what, like, if they want, my most common question is, who should I hire next? Oh, well, you have two painters. Well, you probably should hire three more painters and stop working as a painter, you know?
So let's get into this, because this is where I really want to talk to you and I want you to touch most on. So obviously, he scaled his business. He knows what he's doing in this industry. He is pretty much self-taught, which I think it makes the best artist, whatever your craft is. I know, because that's how Jason and I did it. Mm-hmm. And so I did a podcast about this the other day, but he's looking at his competition, not as competition necessarily, but as part of an industry that should be lifted up, that deserves to have the quality recognition of the services that you provide. You are tradesmen. You do just like I would see, you know, a carpenter and in the love in their work. They put the love in their work. But it's not just Spencer trying to say, okay, people in other cities, I want to help elevate you. He's actually offering, like, helping people who could be direct competitors in elevating them.
They are.
Yes, exactly. But he's wanting to help them grow. And so this is what I want you to talk to me about, is what are you trying to build here with this network?
You know, so, like, if anyone's trying to become, like, a better person in the industry and to grow as a company, like, I think you'd be surprised how many people are willing to help you out. You know, I've had a ton of help. Just growing in the industry, talking to other painters. I've grown with other painters. I talked to Brad Ellison, Russell Peach, these big players in the industry that are growing, you know, at the similar mm-hmm. pace that we are.
Okay.
You know, and these guys are all willing to help you and talk to you. And, you know, as long as you have someone that's like has the time,
mm-hmm.
they're willing to help. I mean, and so what I like to do as well is like people are helping me out. And we're talking and we're growing our companies. I want to help other people out and help other people grow their companies. You know, and so there's a couple of different reasons why I want to elevate the industry in Utah. Okay. One, it's, you know, when you're, you know, kind of the reasons people start unions, you know, just like higher pay.
Okay.
If everyone's charging more, we're all going to be making more.
Okay.
And so when you have a professionalized company and you have professional people with insurance and license and workers' comp and like a presentation folder and follow-up texts and follow-up emails and a really good website and all these other things.
A phenomenal social media team.
And a freaking amazing.
Yeah.
The best social media as far as a painting company in the industry. And I've had multiple people tell me that.
I wonder who does it.
I don't know. Well, we don't have to get into it.
But you do need to plug the one that's really driving a lot of that traffic too.
Lucas? Yeah, oh, Lucas is doing great. Yeah. So when you have professional marketing and all that stuff, like when you have those, that's going to rise the prices of pretty much anyone, you know?
Your value is increasing.
Yeah, exactly.
Prices increase too, but
prices and the value increases. You're able to charge more because of that. And everyone's charging more instead of me going in and bidding against Chuck with a little truck over here that has a taillight warranty. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
Taillight warranty is like you have a warranty as long as you can see my taillights.
Oh. No, seriously? That's kind of hilarious. Okay, so taillight warranty guy.
Yeah, you know, someone that's actually got like a real warranty and actually has insurance and actually paints full time or has a team that paints full time. Instead of bidding against those, like I went to an estimate today bidding against Patrick, and he does very similar revenue for us. And I know that when I'm bidding against Patrick, my prices are going to be solid. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be competitive. Mm-hmm. When I'm bidding against Chuck, mm-hmm. you know, I'm double, triple the price. Yep. But when I'm bidding against all these other professional companies, you know, that's a huge difference for us. You know,
you're also helping the community in a way that's, because people will, you know, hire Chuck because, you know, that's a big difference for them, whatever. But what happens is Chuck, you know, leaves them high and dry with half their house painted. You know what I mean? Mm. It's not that quality. And so I tell people, and I'm not the cheapest either. And you know that.
Yeah, I do.
And neither is Lucas. But why? Why is that? It's because we provide quality that will last, that will make, you know, an impact, that will make a difference. And we stand by our relationships, which is what you offer.
Yeah.
That's what you offer these. And I've seen the work that they do, and you can look all over his social media. It's really great. and, you know, see the work that they've done. It's true quality. And if you are, you know, if you're going up against a, you know, direct competitor who offers the same value that you do, then yeah. You guys, that person's not going to be screwed and left with half their house painted. Yeah. You know, if you're lifting up the whole industry, you know that the whole industry is going to bring value. There's enough business for all of us.
There's plenty. Like, here's the thing that's kind of specifically in my mind right now. Like, so we use a product. A lot of people love to paint brick. The worst method to paint that is just to throw paint on it. A lot of unprofessional companies do that.
Okay.
It will last a couple years and then it'll start peeling and then your brick's ruined.
Oh. Don't throw paint on your bricks.
Straight paint, you know? Okay. So like, that's going to last. It will last a couple years past their warranty, and then you've just done harm on Salt Lake and on Utah. You know, you've done a negative. And so you have to think about this. Like, I'm planning on living here a long time. I'm planning on having kids. I don't want paint, you know, these historic houses breaking down. The second option is like priming and paint. That's the minimum that any company should do.
Okay.
And then we have another product that's even better. That's got a 10-year warranty. It's called Roma Bio. It's a mineral based paint, but like, that's the difference. Like, you have these, you have some companies that are not even doing the minimum. And then you have people that are like, oh, I want to help the community out, you know? Mm-hmm. And so all these professional companies, they're doing at least the good method or the best method.
They're using the middle grade or the high grade, right? The gas is like I'm seeing like the 87, 89, 90 something. Yeah. I'm like, okay, which one am I pushing?
Which one am I putting in my car today?
Well, exactly. So that makes a lot of sense.
So yeah, it's like, it's kind of the same concept. Like we want to uplift the industry, and a lot of these companies that I talked to, we recently had a meeting with a bunch of painters.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Great time. PPG sponsored it. Just like got to meet like 30 different painters. Okay, you know, and you locally? Know, locally.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, wow. So it was you know, painters from Ogden, painters from Lehigh. There was one painter from Park City that owns three different locations. One of them's in Utah. He has one in Arizona and one in California.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
He flew in.
Oh.
He has a freaking jet.
Oh, boom.
A freaking jet that flew in to come to the meeting. I'm like, wow, that's so great. So, like, we all
get us a jet.
I don't know.
I think we should get a jet.
I did fly first class the other day.
Isn't it fantastic?
Oh, I
don't think I could ever fly different again.
It's a life of luxury. Oh, gosh.
It's leg room and the little head things that I don't know. In Delta, it's like these little head things.
Bigger TVs and
comfort.
They give you like a freaking like a warm meal. Like, oh my gosh!
I know, man. It's like flights were back in the day original.
I don't think I want to go to the point where I have my own private jet.
Okay, how about we share one?
Well, I don't know, because you don't live in the same state as me, so
we'll just like pick each other up.
If we park it in Salt Lake, maybe.
okay, that's fine. Oh my goodness. Okay, so he flew in his private jet to come hang out in a meeting where you are.
And so like there's these big, you know, these smaller companies, there's these bigger companies. They're all here just to help grow the industry, to help collaborate. You know, I was talking to him about what technology he uses. People are asking me what technology they use. Mm-hmm. They're asking me, you know, we're all asking each other questions because everyone has something to add. And so when you have, you know, a painter that does 100,000, but he has this one really good piece of information, like, I want that. I want that in my company. Oh, yes. You don't answer. You have this system, this AI system that answers your calls after 6. How much does that cost? Can I get my evenings back? Oh, you use this service? Oh, you use this CRM? Like, oh, how's that going for you? These are all questions that are happening and while you're playing Topgolf, you know, and just having fun and you're competing against these people sometimes, you know, but like, it doesn't matter. There's plenty of work to go around.
There's plenty of business to go around. There's plenty of money to go around. Like, we got to get rid of those scarcity mindsets and lift people up like this. Like, if we can release that scarcity mindset of there's not enough, there's just not enough.
There's plenty.
And, you know, and ultimately, if you're kind to people, you become friends with, you know, guys who have private jets.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, you have this mindset where really it's, you think strategically as well as, I wouldn't say emotionally, but you see the whole picture, and I don't even see that. So what I find really cool is Spencer actually, we'll talk on Messenger quite a lot. I bug him so much. It's like, no wonder we got to get you more business. If I shut up every once in a while, you might actually be able to call people. Okay, so we'll bounce ideas off each other, and I'm a marketing agency, and he'll give me marketing ideas and suggestions, and I'm like, I get that. And then sometimes I'm like, Spencer, I know what I'm doing. But
she's like, I'm preaching in the choir. I'm like, I know you know what you're doing, but I want to make sure that I tell you exactly what works for us, you know.
That's it. He wants to share, you know, he wants to share these growths and these values and these strategies. And I think that right there is what's going to take your company, you know, above. It's going to bring you above the fold no matter what. Like, it's not just going to be a Utah name. I truly believe that you're going to take this far, and that people, whether it's just they know you because you are an educator and a mentor in the industry, you know, a thought leader in the industry, that's where I see you going. Because obviously you can't paint. But, you know, you're hiring great people who are doing phenomenal work, you know, on the sites who have personalities and are willing to be proud of the business that they work for, because they're willing to get on camera and you know, talk and share, and they're excited to.
We have a great leadership team right now. We have a great estimator, great project manager, great painters with us. You know, it takes time to find those people, but it's so important to have those people on your team, because that's what can make me come here, you know, and take an afternoon and drive up here to talk to you, or, you know, or go down to Orlando for a week and I come back and my company's still alive.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. That's so, what you need. What do you think it takes to keep a good team? When you build a good team, phenomenal. What do you think it takes to keep a good team?
Well, there's a couple different things when you're thinking about that. One of the things that I'm constantly thinking about when I think about my wife and what she does for her work is like fulfillment, feeling like you're making a difference. Aww. And so when you have a job like doesn't make a difference and don't have an impact, you're no longer happy at your job, and you could be paying them as much as you want, and they're not gonna. It's not about the money in and of itself, as long as you're paying them a reasonable, mm-hmm. you know, maybe even above reasonable salary. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing I think about. Second thing is
shout out to the wife.
Yeah, my wife doesn't even go on Facebook.
So. She probably don't want to listen. Nobody listens. No, I'm just kidding. Some people listen to this. Keep going.
Yeah. The other thing is just making sure you are on the same page with these people. You know, that's something that I'm really working on right now, is becoming a better leader and developing a better leadership team, because that's one of our weaknesses as a company. When we were painting, it was really hard to get a past three crews because we didn't have the proper leadership skills.
Okay.
Once we gave these people their jobs, the jobs start going wrong. We didn't know why. Well, we weren't good leaders. And, you know, there's other reasons too. And it's not like it's just my fault.
I know.
I'm going to take the responsibility. Like, when you have a better...
It's not just my fault.
It's not just our fault.
It's not my fault, but okay, keep going.
Yeah, here's the thing. When you have a company, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. It's your money. So like...
Your responsibility.
No matter what, you can have shared responsibility. Like, if I have a painter that's not doing good, it can be their fault and their responsibility, but it's also my responsibility, and it's also the project manager's responsibility, and the project head's responsibility, and my responsibility. They trickle down, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when my company is, you know, it's responsible for making a lot of money this year, and I have to make sure everyone knows where their role is. And so, those are the two main things that I found when we're hiring a good leadership team. A lot of that stuff, you can't really teach that as Correct. Easily. And so you can train the job, you can't train the person. Our office admin, I hired her from Home Depot.
Okay. And, I wonder why.
I know her wife, and she was working there at the time too. And so she, she said, hey, she's looking for a new job. I'm like, perfect, have her over. And she makes 25% more than when she worked at Home Depot. And she's got flexibility, and she's able to work partially at home, and she's mm-hmm. able to make a difference. She wasn't making a difference at Home Depot, mm-hmm. so she wasn't thriving.
That, and I think it's also when you work for these, you know, corporate conglomerates, you don't really know your people individually, right?
Yeah.
So for one, it may be their value, their need is, you know, they need to make a certain amount of money each month. Or for somebody else, it might be, I need to be able to not come in until 9 because I have to drop my kids off at school. And then I have to pick them up at 3 because I'm a single mom. Having some time at home yeah. and making a little bit more money. Like the need for everybody is different. So the fact that you take the time to understand your people and help them fulfill those.
I'm working on it. You know, and the other thing we're doing, like, so as our initiative to become have better leadership roles and have a better team that works better together. We're taking every month now, we take our core leadership team out to lunch. And okay. so, and that's them, or it's actually dinner. So it's them and their partners if they want, if their family, if they want. We just go around, we eat, we just see how everything's going, making sure everyone's on the same page.
Okay.
You know, make sure that they're happy outside of work, you know, because we can make, so it's like, you know, that's something we're literally, we started this two months ago now. So we've only sure. had two meetings, but we have to put our time into not just, they're not employees, they're team members. They have families, they have lives outside of work, and we want to help people achieve those as
Aww.
Well.
Oh, you're so cool. So see why I like him so much, everybody? He has a brilliant mind. Spencer, if there was one entrepreneur who you think is innovative above all?
Brad Ellison's a huge mentor for me. He's a painting contractor in Michigan.
Oh, what's his name?
Brad Ellison.
Okay. If you're in Michigan, look him up.
He has a very similar motto to us. We We base a lot of our company off of him. He's super, super friendly, super kind. He shares resources with us. I talk with him. Hopefully I give him as much value as he gives us, you know, but I mean, he's killing it over there. He's headed for 5 million this year. Oh. And they started they did a million in the first year.
I love this. I love this. I keep getting, you know, in the beginning I was getting, you know, the normal answers, the Steve Jobs and the Elon Musks, but now I'm getting like the real, like this is a real person has changed your life.
Elon Musk is a great entrepreneur, but he hasn't impacted me other than maybe me wanting a Tesla one day. You know, he's that guy. So Steve Jobs, like no one, I feel like very few people actually implement anything Steve Jobs has in their company or Elon Musk. I mean, they're just so far removed from an average everyday entrepreneur. You know, these real people like other entrepreneurs are the people that you need to be talking with, people that are closer to your level, you know, like you and like Scott Staples and like Eric Muniz, you know.
That's awesome. I'm really impressed with you. That was a great answer. Because you're right. It's somebody who's actually like touched your life, like who has helped.
Who told you Steve Jobs?
You should listen to my podcast.
I'm going to go out and find him. I'm like, tell me one thing you learned from their biography, because I bet you haven't even read it.
All right, here you go. This is a challenge.
I'm not going to really fight you.
You got to comment in the comments as to what Steve Jobs did to change your life. All right?
As a company. Yeah, not just personally. Obviously, everyone has an iPhone.
Okay, yeah. Well, all right. Well, you got to be more specific here as a company. So wherever there's comments, tell Spencer why or how.
Steve Jobs was not to get off into a tangent, but Steve Jobs was not a particularly good boss.
Oh, I know. He was not a very particularly good person.
He's got a brilliant mind, and it was so far above people in so many aspects that, like, he's an ass.
He is an ass.
He was. He's dead now.
That's the perfect way to close. Thank you. I just enjoy this guy a whole lot. So if you actually get the opportunity to meet him beyond painting, it's definitely going to uplift your life. So for everybody out there, obviously, thank you for joining me. If you're in Utah area, definitely check out Robin Hood Studios. I mean, this place is cool. If you didn't notice, look, last time I was here, there was green on the background, and now there's the black. So they can really mix things up. And although he doesn't say much, Genesis is pretty freaking awesome. So is Cameron. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for joining me. I hope we brought you some value. And of course, thank you.
See you guys.
Wow. What a great episode. I hope you had as much fun as I did. If you want more of this goodness, make sure you subscribe so that you get notifications for future podcasts. And if you found value from this, please share it with others. You can visit our website at cwgdigital.com. This is Erica Bailey. I am your host, and I will see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio, a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.